Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thank you so much for coming by, and welcome to another summer evening. Actually, you know what? It's been pretty cool. I can't quite complain about the weather right now. It's cooled down. It's quite nice. I got a lot of people telling me, oh, summer is over. It's time for autumn. And you know what? These people are wrong. Let me tell you this. I've been living in Japan now for, this is my ninth summer in this country. And I know the hot weather has just faded for a little while. We get a couple of cool nights. They're quite lovely and nice to go out walking the dog with. But mark my words, people, summer will be back. Summer doesn't end here. It doesn't end until November. I'm not trusting this weather until the leaves turn. Sorry, I seem to have gone off on a rant there. I don't know how that could have happened. In other news, we've got an election coming up over here. That's right, the Japanese government is going to completely turn itself inside out. If projections are correct, it looks like the ruling party, who has basically governed this country since World War II, and if you want to be really, really picky about it, before World War II, might be thrown on its ear this Sunday in favor of the opposition party, which, you know, kind of like the Republicans and Democrats in the United States, there's not that much difference between them. But still, if they do, it will be an historic election, and I get to see it. That is always cool. I enjoy that. And we'll see if the new party can, you know, run things any better than the old party did. I asked a student today, I asked if they, either of them had any thoughts on immigration and foreign residents in the country. And he looked a little surprised that I should be asking such a question and said, well, no, they haven't addressed immigration at all. So look forward for that one to bite them in the butt. And also, oh, the cat, Cooper, is officially our cat now. When we found him, of course, we went to the police, we registered him as lost property, and they said if the owners don't show up in a month, he's yours. They called today, he's ours. He's also becoming quite the little pain in the tuchus, so we'll see what we're going to do with him in the future as we go. But this is neither a weather, politics, nor pet podcast. We're going to talk books today. Now, of course, as it is the end of the month, that means it is a Dresden week. That's right. I'll be doing my series entries at the end of each month. And for the next 10 months, I believe, we will be talking about The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher. Now, last week I gave you a trivia question because, you know, asking you to guess next week's book would be kind of stupid. And I said, where did Harry get Bob from? And I got a correct answer from Esteve in Spain. And he, to be fair, he Googled it. And y'all could do that too. But Harry found Bob in the burned out ruins of his mentor's home and kept him. Mind you, he had set his mentor's home on fire. That's a really long story that you do kind of get good glimpses of as you read the series. But anyway, let's go on to book number two of the Dresden Files. The title is Full Moon. The Hell's Bells count in this book 9. And let me start by saying this. When a book about werewolves has a joke taken directly from Young Frankenstein, or I'm sorry, Frankenstein, and the joke, of course, being werewolf, there, wolf, there, castle. Well, when you get this kind of joke, you know you're in very good hands. It's the kind of joke that a very small percentage of readers is going to get, but it's guaranteed that those readers who do get it will be very appreciative. So, kudos to you, Jim Butcher, for going for those one percenters. So once again, consulting magician Harry Dresden has gotten himself into trouble. That's right. A few months ago, he nearly got himself killed, taking down a drug-pushing warlock who wielded disturbingly strong levels of dark magic. Now he has a different, hairier problem to deal with. People are being ripped apart in Chicago. I know, you're not surprised. But these are not normal gangland killings or even comfortable familiar drug shootings, no. People are being literally torn apart. Limb from limb, guts for garters, that kind of thing. The killings are violent and frightening, and both the Chicago police and the FBI would really like to know who's behind them all. Unfortunately for Harry Dresden, all avenues point straight towards the supernatural. And as if that weren't bad enough, his talent for being in the wrong place at the wrong time has made Harry an object of suspicion almost any time something weird goes down. He's used to that, though. What with just being relieved of the Doom of Damocles, which is a rather pretentious-sounding magical probation, and still being in the bad books of the White Council of Wizards, to say nothing of the powerful mobsters of the city, Harry has more enemies than he can really keep up with. He doesn't need any more, and he certainly doesn't need enemies that are red in tooth and claw. For that matter, it would probably be simpler if it were just one werewolf, but it isn't. Or even if it were just one kind of werewolf, which it isn't. Or even if all the werewolves in question were relentless, evil, killing machines, which of course they aren't, at least not all of them. So now Harry has to throw himself right back into the fray, to the wolves, as it were, and risk life and limb for people who don't quite appreciate all the hard work he does. At least not until a ravaging loup-garou nearly kills them all. But that would help anyone through a crisis of faith, I think. As with the first volume in this series, I really enjoyed this book. Jim Butcher has an excellent sense of humor, as I mentioned before, and it really shines through Harry's narration. Dresden often breaks the fourth wall in his narrative, acknowledging to both himself and to the reader that he's about to do something most people would consider to be insane, facing down a giant evil werewolf, top of my list. One of the things that I really enjoy just about the reading process in these books is the multi-sensory experience of reading them. Butcher knows that we have many senses, and he also knows that a great number of writers only engage a couple of them. So he throws as much sensory information as he can at us, engaging our senses of touch and taste and smell to make the scene that much more convincing. And what's more, and this is pretty good, he has a gift for an economy of description. What is the most important sensory input for each scene? He knows it, or at least he figures it out, and he focuses our attention on that. Plus, he's put together a very well-ordered magical universe. The rules are clear and binding, letting us know exactly what Harry can and cannot do in order to get out of his troubles. The work that Butcher has done in preparing the world of Harry Dresden shows up very, very clearly. And of course, werewolves are fun monsters to play with, mainly because of their symbolic significance. You know, man and beast in one body, the loss of control, and the joy in doing so. The werewolf is the beast we all fear to become. And this is important to Harry as well. As he tells us in this book, and in most of the others, he has a dark side. He knows what it's like to reach into the bleak recesses of his soul and use magic towards evil ends. That kind of goes back to the Bob story, really. He's done it before, and the understanding that he could do it again is a shadow that constantly follows him. When he sees the various werewolves that are terrorizing the city, he sees himself in them. He sees the monster he could become, and he rejects it. Or, at least, he holds it at bay for as long as he can. It's great to watch Harry, because he is such an underdog. He gets beaten up, outsmarted, outclassed again and again, but he keeps coming back. He keeps finding that one little way through his problems that allows him to come through victorious. Or at least, as far as he's able to, anyway. And in the end, isn't that true for all of us? So, Full Moon by Jim Butcher. Now let me leave you with a quote. This is a conversation between Harry Dresden and Bob, where they're discussing what to do about these werewolves. And Harry says, "Well, we'll just have to hope that this wasn't a loup-garou, I guess." "Well, if it was a looper, you'd know. In the middle of this town, you'd have a dozen people dead every time the full moon came around. So, what's going on?" "A dozen people are dying every time the full moon comes around." That's Harry Dresden and Bob in Full Moon. I've said it before again and again and again. I really enjoy this series, so pick them up. And if you want, you can follow along. You know there's at least a month between reviews. So the next book will be Grave Peril, and that's coming at the end of September. So if you want to pick that up now and read it before, and then you can listen to the podcast and listen to my review and tell me that I'm awesome and that I got it all right, or no, I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about. Whatever, you know, just read it and let me know what you think. Not just about the cast, but also about the book itself. Because, as I said, these are close to my heart. So, with that, I don't think I have anything else special to tell you, really. No. Things are, you know, all the stuff that I'm going to say. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes reviews, email, guesses, all that. Oh, that's right. Next week's review. I need to leave you a clue for that. We're going to shift gears a little bit and get into nonfiction. Clue number one, the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. Clue number two, spaghettification. Those are your clues to next week's book. There we go. So, until then, I don't think I have any other news or information or orders or commands for you other than, of course, please send me your guesses by email, as well as large cash donations and your handsome friends, your handsome male friends. Let's keep it to that. But beyond that, thanks for coming by. As always, I will see you next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.